What a great day to come to church. Amen. I feel like half the work is already done. Thanks, friends. I can't pray the prayer of illumination with you if I don't have it and I can't see it. Would you please pray with me as our prayer of illumination? God, source of all light, by your word, you give light to the soul. Pour out on us the spirit of wisdom and understanding, that our hearts and minds may be open to know your truth and your way. Amen. So we are talking about love. Love, 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 love for the next 5 weeks. It might be one of my favorite subjects. It also, quite frankly, is why I do what I do as a pastor, because I get to love people well. I get to care for people. I get to show compassion and be in relationship with people, and I love it. It's also really easy to love this church, amen, and to be loved by this church. Last week, we talked about what is the point of church. Because sometimes, I don't know about you all, I struggle, right? Like, what is the point of church? I mean, I know, like, our church is awesome, but, like, what is the point of church in general? And we talked about what was the point in why we came as individuals and why we kept coming as individuals to church. And do you know what that thread, the common thread that sewed all of the answers together, that connected all the dots, do you know what that thread was? Love. It was love. It was because this is a place that soothes souls. It's because people have found comfort and healing here. It's because people have been known here. And I don't know about you all, but I think one of our biggest desires as human beings is to be known and noticed and loved, to belong, right? And one of the gifts that I think this church has as a people is to really help belong people, right? We make space for people to belong. And like, high five, I'm proud of y'all for that. But also I think, you know, it is, you can't give what you don't have. And so we are giving 5 weeks to talking about love. Now, I personally could talk about it all the time, but 5 weeks. And I want to say in advance that this is something that has been planned for probably 6 months, 5 months. So this was not an overnight decision to plan this. This was a prayerful decision about what does the Holy Spirit want for the people of God to hear on this occasion. And so these next 5 weeks, as we get into Lent, to help us understand where we are going with Lent and Easter, love, right? It is the highest law of ours as followers of Christ. But you don't have to take my word for it. You can turn into your scripture. For those who don't know, that the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all kind of share ideas, we'll say that. John sent me this one meme where everybody was copying off of Mark, and they're like students, like looking over each other's papers, like, because that's kind of how authorship worked in those days. But you can turn to Matthew 22 or Mark 12 or Luke 10, and you are going to hear the same idea. Now, do you want to know what that idea is? Let me ask that again. Do you want to know what that idea is? Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, grasping at our pearls, the Pharisees got together. And one of them, an expert in the law, this is Matthew 22, expert in the law, tested Jesus with his questions. Teacher, rabbi, what is the greatest commandment in the law, in Torah? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two laws, all of the laws and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And what is that commandment? What's the verb in that, in those two commandments? Love. Love. And you see, the reality of our situation is that it seems like such a simple concept to grasp. But I don't know about you all, in my human experience, it's been hard. It's been hard to grasp this concept. But we understand as followers of Christ that we are made for love. Jeremiah 31:3 says, I have made you with an everlasting love. And this week we're going to talk about being made for love. Jesus says that the greatest commandments are to love God and love each other. And in our weekly devotional guide, you'll get the opportunity to dig into more commandments about love. Last week in our conversation, which is really what it was, it wasn't really a sermon, it was a conversation, we heard the commandment that Jesus said to his disciples, right? As you are going, go preaching and teaching and baptizing in my name. And John says, and by this they will know that you are my disciples, that you love as I have loved you. That you love out in the world. You love other people as I have loved you. So as followers of Jesus Christ, love is our highest law. It is at the core of our being, right? And let's dig in a little bit more in this. The Hebrew word for love is technically Strong's H2617. It is often translated as love, but it is God's faithful love, hesed. And hesed is like a lot of scripture, beautiful and multifaceted. And remember that the biblical Hebrew doesn't have vowels, so where you put the vowel placement can determine the context of the word, which is one of the reasons why that question in Matthew 22 comes up, because really the person asking Jesus is like, Rabbi, where do you put your vows? How do you interpret the law? But it's not lost on me, especially given with this week's events and with our evangelical siblings calling empathy a sin. Scratch our heads and figure that out. It's not lost on me that in the King James Version, which is the word of God for a lot of people, the word hesed, God's faithful love, God's steadfast and erring, everlasting love, God's love that goes from the end of the age, that God is continually doing, that God is always loving, right? Hesed, that whole, good, perfect love that only wants good, that love is translated 149 times in the King James Bible as the word mercy. You can file that away. We've started recording again, so if you need to come back to that and play it for your friends, you can. 149 times the word mercy. God's steadfast love is translated 40 times in the King James Version as kindness, 30 times as loving kindness, 12 times as goodness, 5 times as kindly, 4 times as merciful, 3 times as favor or blessing, once as goodness, once as godliness or goodliness, once as pity, once as reproach. God's love for us. Whole, complete, filling the gap. Right? And our response to God's love, God's eternal and unchanging love, that love that God has poured out for us from the time that we were in our mother's womb and God knit us together and counted every hair on our head, right? That love for us that in our Wesleyan tradition we call prevenient grace, that love that goes out. That love that, as Matthew Fox likes to say, is original blessing. We were made for good and for God out of love and delight and joy. Did you know that? If you were made for love, say amen. If you were made for good and for God in this world, to bring God's love into this world, say amen. If you were made to be an agent of mercy and kindness and goodness and compassion and favor in this world, say amen. It's exciting, isn't it? Made for love. We are to love God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind, and all our strength. God's love truly is eternal and unchanging. Jeremiah told us that God's love is loved us with an everlasting love. Jesus reframes it. We see God's love as followers of Jesus. We believe that God's love is embodied in Jesus the Christ, the Word made flesh, that we just celebrated his birth not that long ago, right? Of God taking on flesh and moving into the neighborhood, as Eugene Peterson's translation says. There's a really important book that I love on love, no pun intended. 1 John. 1 John is such an important book for me because it talks about loving each other. And if you turn to 1 John 3, see what kind of love the Father has given us that we should all be called children of God. And that is what we are. We are God's children. And 1 John goes on to talk about what does it mean to be a child of God, and then talks about, don't be surprised, brothers and sisters, if the world hates you, for we know that we have transferred from death to life because we love brothers and sisters. We love our brothers and sisters, our neighbor, the person who does not love remains in death. Ooh, that is a word, is it not? The person who does not love remains in death. This is at verse 13 and following. Everyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we know love. Jesus laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. That is some pretty strong words. And it says in verse 18, little children, let us not love with words or speech, but with action and truth. Friends, I know it is so easy in times of trouble and trial to want to just send our thoughts and prayers. But this is a reminder that our thoughts and prayers are not enough. It is action and truth. It is our deeds, our lives lived out as we are going. It's not that thoughts and prayers are bad, right? But that's the bare minimum. Amen. It is the bare minimum. And I have a suspicion that in these next 4 years, we are going to be called upon as followers of Jesus Christ to boldly proclaim God's love in this world. To boldly proclaim as a people, mercy and compassion, forgiveness and reconciliation. And the world might hate us for that, and that's okay. First John 4 talks about love in this way. Dear friends, this is at verse 7. Love each other. We love each other. Why? Because love is from God, and everyone who loves is born from God and knows God. Think about that for a minute. Have you ever really been truly seen or loved or valued or felt like you really mattered to someone? Has someone said something or done something for you or on your behalf or with you that made you feel truly loved in yourselves? I'll tell you about a story of mine. I got lots. But I shared this a little bit last week, and I'll share it again. I remember when Eric was having heart problems, right? My husband. And things went from 0 to 60 overnight, right? In December, we found out that his mitral valve prolapse was really bad, and he had about 33% regurgitation. And so he knew it was going to be time for a repair of his repair 5 years later, right? And he sent the files. His cardiologist is a real good friend of his, so they sent the files up to the Cleveland Clinic. Cleveland Clinic said, okay, well, we're going to get you in with this doctor, but it's probably going to be May, right? We'll contact you later, right? 2 weeks later, the doctor's office calls and said, well, your doctor just saw your file work, and we're going to need to see you within 3 weeks. You need to get here as soon as you can. For those of you who are around, do you remember how terrifying that was for me? So we go to Cleveland. God bless the people at Blue Cross Blue Shield. They didn't think that we should go because they hadn't approved any kind of surgery or testing. And we went. And Eric required open heart surgery. He was in full-blown heart failure when we got there. Had we not gone when we did, he was going to die. Right? And of course, we've had exceptional healthcare at the Cleveland Clinic. For me, it is a model of what healthcare can look like in this country. But that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is I was serving this church. And I remember Linda telling me, you do not worry about us. It is not your time to worry about us. It is our time to worry about you. And you all as a congregation rallied around us. You lifted us up in prayers. You took care of us. You prayed for us. You checked in on us. You made sure that we were taken care of and truly loved and seen and belonged as part of your church family. And friends, I can tell you that not having to worry about Irby Hartley when he died means that I broke my heart that I missed that. Because I knew you all were handling it and taking care of it and loving the Hartleys as much as you were loving me. That brought me the most joy and comfort and love I have ever experienced. You all really, truly loved us well. And you have continued to do so. I mean, I would be remiss in saying that that was the only time. But for me, that is a pinpoint example of what love looks poured out in the flesh, right? The calls and the cards and the food and the caring and the prayers and the action and the doing. It is the both and of work and faith. Love in the world. Dear friends, let us love each other because love is from God. It is everyone who loves is born of God, and the person who doesn't love doesn't know God because God is love. And this is how love of God is revealed to us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we can live through him. Do you remember John 3:16 and 17 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that all who believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And then 17, which needs to always be attached. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but so that the entire world might be saved or might know wholeness, the Greek word there, wholeness through Christ. Friends, if God loved us this way, also ought we not to love each other? No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God remains in us, and God's love is made perfect in us. Amen. As Wesleyans, we call this sanctification. There's your, right, go, high five. We are made perfect in God's love. We are made perfect in God's love. And there is no fear in love because Perfect love drives out fear. For you see, fear expects punishment. Love, friends, expects mercy and grace. Friends, and if anyone says, I love God, but hates a brother or sister, they are a liar, because the person who doesn't love a brother or sister who they can see cannot love a God whom can't be seen. This is commandment that we have from him. Those who claim to love God ought also to love their brother and sister also. That is some truth right there, right? I mean, I personally believe that all truth is God's truth. That is truth, that love casts out fear. There is no fear of judgment or punishment in love. There is no fear of repercussion or reprimanding. There is no fear in love. Amen? And friends, we are called to love because it is God who first loved us. We were made for love. And so our loving flows from understanding that God loves us. Now, here's the catch about that. Sometimes we have no clue why God loves us. We cannot see ourselves with God's eyes. We have been so wounded and hurt and harmed by this world and even through the church, right, that we have a hard time understanding that God could even love us. I want you to understand that there are other Christian traditions who view humanity as totally depraved and deprived. And that there is no cell even worth loving in them. But friends, but that's not our tradition. Amen and hallelujah. We are made for God, from God, for love, for goodness and godness in this world. We are made to live out lives of love. So if you happen to be one of those people who are struggling with how could God love me, I just want to invite you to hold out your hand and say, thank you, God, for loving me every single day until you feel it. Because God loves each and every one of us in our imperfections and our mistakes and our missing the marks. God loves us and is constantly holding out their hand to invite us to a new and different way of love. Thank you, God, for loving me. We can't give what we don't have. We have to understand that God sent Jesus not into the world to change God's mind about us, but to change our minds about God. To understand that God is not a God of wrath or vengeance or fear, that God is a God of love, who wants more for us, as the scriptures say, than we could ask or imagine or dream. Who loves us so much that God took on human flesh and dwelt among us. Do you know that God loves you? No strings attached? If you know that God loves you, no strings attached, say, loved by God. Loved by God. Do you know people in your life who don't know that God loves them? And this is where the hard part is, right? You see, Jesus tells us that we can't keep our light and hide it under a bushel, right? We can't keep our love to ourselves. I think love by its very nature is expansive and contagious, right? Love begets love. That's why I said hold out your hand and say thank you, God, for loving me. Because the more we do that, the more we practice, the more we root and ground ourselves in the love of God through Jesus Christ, the more, guess what? God's love is made perfect in us. And all we have to do is say, thank you, God, for loving me, right? The reality of the situation, friends, is that love doesn't just sit and stay stagnant, does it? Love is generative. It's creating. Love is expansive. It's ever reaching out to make the circle wider, right? I'm very tactile seeking, so the tactile seeking person in me is like, group hug, right? Love. Love is, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians, right, is patient and kind and does not boast. You see, that's not love that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 13. That's not love for between spouses, right? That's actually love for people in the community of faith. Did you realize that? Right? So love is patient and love is kind. Love is not rude. It does not boast. Right? Love doesn't brag. It isn't jealous or arrogant. It isn't irritable. It doesn't seek its own advantage. It doesn't keep a record of complaints. It is not happy with injustice, but it is happy with the truth. Love puts up with the things, trusts in all the things, hopes for all the things, endures all the things, and love what? Never fails. Amen. Friends, I believe that as followers of Christ, if we live out lives of love, that is great news for everybody, right? Because remember, if it's not good news for everybody, it isn't good news for anybody. We are called to live out these lives of great love in action in the world, proclaiming this love, being rooted and grounded in the love that God has for us, right? And Paul says this at the end of 1 Corinthians 13, now faith, hope, and love remain. And these things, the greatest of these things is love. And I love this because we often forget this. The very next verse in 1 Corinthians 14. Pursue love. Pursue love. Chase after it. Go after it. Make your lives lives of love. Do you think you can do that? This next 5 weeks, guess what we're going to do? Oh! Stephanie's got it. We're going to pursue love. Now, I don't know about you all. I tend to be idealistic. It's fine. I know that life is hard right now for some of us. I know that for some of us, we are living in fear and trepidation. I know that for some of us, we just don't even know what is going on or what to make of it. And some of us are in the find out stage. So, friends, if we pursue love, if we pursue living lives of God's love in this world, living out lives of love, not just in prayers and thoughts, but in actions and deeds, right? In words of blessing, an affirmation. I am maybe naive or idealistic enough to think that maybe, just maybe, that we might have a ripple effect, at least on our small little corner of the world, right? At least on staying in solidarity with each other and maybe expanding that circle for those who need a safe place to belong and find safety and security over these next few years. Like, go team, right? Isn't that what the church is supposed to be about? A place of belonging and solidarity? So friends, let us pursue love. Pursue love. Let us seek love with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our strength. Love for God. Love for our neighbors and love for even our enemies. That is our call of followers, as followers of Jesus Christ. And so this week we are doing a love in action step. I like to quote sometimes Cornel West, who says, justice is what love looks like lived out in action. Great theologian from Union. But this week, and along with our campaign, we are going to write a note or make a phone call to someone who has shown you love. Surely there has been someone in your life who has made you feel seen or heard or like you belonged. Surely there is someone in your life who has loved you without expectation of reciprocity. Because friends, love is not transactional. And that also means God's love is not transactional. So, friends, Find that person.
Maybe it's an elementary school teacher. Maybe it's an aunt or an uncle. Maybe it's a dear friend that you've known for 50 years. Maybe it's your grandchildren. Surely we see love in them. Maybe it's your neighbor. But find someone that has really shown you love and write a note or make a phone call and express how you've experienced the love of God through that person. Even if they aren't a believer, it's okay. Share how God's love has blessed you through that person and how they have shaped your life. And share your gratitude. I personally believe gratitude could change the world, but that's also because I believe love can change the world. It is truly the greatest force in human history. So along with that, I want to thank those who have signed up for our congregational care campaign. Well, I don't know where the magic clipboard is. Do you have it, Linda? And I want to invite you now. In this time of commitment, I have left open the font because we had our baptismal renewal service last week. If you want to come up while we are singing and remember your baptism or after the end of the service, you can just touch the water. Also, we have prayer cards for our seniors if you want to come grab those. But this week, we're going to write a note or make a phone call to someone who has shown us love. So would you please stand as you are able as Jerron leads us in our gift of love. And I expect us to sing as people who know they are loved and are taking love out in the world. Amen.